Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly. He's brought to you by Franklin Pierce University. In New England, we're used to winning, and with a degree from Franklin Pierce University, you can win your dream job. Visit franklinpierce.edu. Paulie, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Doing okay. Getting ready, Paul, for a football game. Yourself?
Doing the same.
You think Gostkowski misses a kick today?
What a negative question.
Well, he's got a track record of doing this type of thing.
I'm a little concerned about the field conditions. I know Adam, was a little critical after the game last week, about the field conditions. And, I don't know if that was a little bit of sour grapes. He missed, obviously, no excuse for missing short kicks like that. On natural grass, I think that's where the Patriots have not played as well. And I think Gostkowski has been a little bit a part of that, with some of the road games that have not gone their way, a couple of missed kicks here and there. So, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. I never expect him to miss a kick. I think he's been just like Adam last week, it was stunning because he never misses. And I think every time Steven misses one, I'm sort of surprised by it because he's been so consistent.
I just like talking about it because it makes Chris Gasper upset. I know it does.
Well, I didn't say anything.
That's his guy. That's Chris's boy, Beetle, right?
Him and Steven are good boy, good friends, that stuff.
So. I mean, the only thing I'll say in this, look, the missed extra points, he missed them. There's no excuse for it. But he wasn't missing him before the head coach decided the play needed to be more competitive. He thought he had a real advantage with his place kicker, and it turned out he didn't. And it was a miscalculation because Steven has not hit those kicks. He's missed big kicks and big extra points during the playoffs. And I think when part of the reason for changing that rule was the Patriots thought they had such an advantage there, and it hasn't worked out that way.
Yeah, I think he's missed an extra point in the last three championship games they've played in. The 15 AFC championship game and then the last two Super Bowls. So it has been an issue. There's no question about that.
Question about it.
And then, maybe if he doesn't miss, it won't be the last game of the year, and we could save the miss for 2 weeks from now in Atlanta.
You guys are brutal.
What?
This is brutal.
Just talking track record, Chris. That's all we're doing. Hey, what? Well, Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say I have a question for Paul, but I just will say quickly on Gostkowski. The field goal he missed last year in the Super Bowl, that was bad snap, bad hold. So it's not just the kicker you have to worry about in these conditions. It's the whole operation if something goes awry there. Paul, my question for you, Paul, is something that I sort of dug into a little bit during the week. When you look at this Andy Reid style of offense and his acolytes, like Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, the last four times the Patriots have faced this style of offense, the yardage allowed is 537, 538, 446, 453. Do you think something has changed, and do you think that they will do a better job handling this style of offense than they've done in the past?
Well, I do think that the fact that this game is not going to be played indoors the way the Super Bowl was last year, and now it's going to be – I know the conditions aren't as bad as they looked like they were going to be during the course of the week, but it's not going to be a picnic. So I can't imagine, you're dealing with 40-plus points here without turnovers. They're just, one of those things where they're scoring every possession. I got to think the Patriots defense has played better. I think the secondary, since J.C. Jackson has been inserted into the starting lineup, has been better. I'm not expecting them to shut them down, but I'm also not expecting another 40-plus point game the way that that Reed has done a couple of times and obviously Peterson did. And you're right to include Nagy in there too, Chris.
Yeah, they put 31 on
him. And the Bears moved the ball very well in that game too.
And Mitch Trubisky honestly didn't throw the ball that well. I mean, if he'd thrown the ball better, it would have been more than 31.
Right. And that's in the back of my mind, that's what I worry about with this game a little bit. I think back to that night back in October in week 6 and all the throws that Mahomes missed early on in that game that allowed the Patriots to get that 24-9 lead. I understand that, part of it is, the inexperience in the big games, and he was probably a little bit amped up at the beginning of the game, but, he missed some wide-open throws in that game. And then, to his credit, he didn't let it bother him, and he came back on – I think he threw four touchdowns in the second half. So he didn't let it, destroy his whole game. But if he gets off to another bad start like that, I don't think Kansas City will be able to come back.
Paul, let's stay within that theme, and that is the coaching. That's Andy Reid. In a game like this, I know that he has a reputation as being a choker over the years, having lost a lot of playoff games in his time in Philadelphia and also now in Kansas City. Last week we watched a team and watched there be a lack of adjustments and at times just a lack of coaching on the part of the Chargers. Do we or should we expect there to be mistakes made in coaching by Andy Reid in this game today, whether it is a lack of adjustments or more probably – a situation like where, timeouts, clock management, things like that. Are we you know, wrong to say that he's good for that at some point in this game today?
I do worry about Andy Reid and his game management, I guess, for a lack of a better term.
That's a good
I do think that the clock and the timeouts and all that stuff, I don't think that's overblown. I think that goes all the way back for us, you know, in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville, when it just seemed like they were down 10 points and treating it like they were down 3. And then you say, well, that was a long time ago. Well, I think it was the 2015 divisional game when they did the same thing.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good
point,
Doug
Peterson,
Paul,
was the offensive coordinator, and they were down 14. And I think Peterson was the one that said after the game, or maybe later when he got the Philadelphia job, we didn't want to give the ball back to Tom Brady with too much time. And I was like, what? Like, the whole plan just didn't make any sense at all. So I do think those criticisms are valid. Now, I think the difference with Andy Reid and even Bob Sutton, even though the Chiefs' defense has not played well all year, they will game plan and they will try different things. They'll play some man coverages. They'll play some different stunts. They don't blitz a tremendous amount, but they won't just sit there and say, well, we're not getting there with our four, so what are we going to do? That's what we normally do. And, well, our cover three is not working today. Like, they will try different things, and they will go into the game with a game plan as opposed to the quote-unquote do-what-we-do guys. I hate the do-what-we-do guys. I mean, does that ever work? I mean, I understand if you have the superior talent, you know, you can win games.
You have to beat Seattle.
Maybe if you're the best team in the league with the best roster in the league.
Bill used to talk about it all the time, Chris, and I'm sure you were with many of those press conferences where we're waxing poetic about the 85 Giants. When you have Lawrence Taylor and you have these guys, you can play, the sit back and play cover two all day and not really worry about it.
Yeah.
When you're that much better from a personnel perspective, you can do things like that.
Sure.
I don't think the Los Angeles Chargers fell into that category, however.
No, I would agree with you. Paul, what's your confidence level in the Patriots' offensive line? Obviously, they've had an excellent year, and they were a big part of the win last week. I thought they ran the ball extremely well. I thought that was one of the keys to the game, because in past playoff runs where they had to lean more on the run game, it wasn't there. They couldn't punish teams. But what's your confidence level today in them in terms of being able to run the ball and also pass protect? Because as we know, obviously very different offensive line, but the last time Tom Brady played here, he was running for his life.
Yeah, and I do – you look at the commonalities of most of those postseason losses, and it involves the offensive line. Now, the Super Bowl last year was probably an exception. I thought the offensive line played fine in that game. But when you look back to those Giants Super Bowls and, some of the games against Baltimore, they probably lost control of the line of scrimmage. Certainly in Denver, in those AFC Championship games, they had no control of the line of scrimmage. So – I would imagine communication will be a factor today. Just watching the first half of the NFC game, and that was a huge part of the problem for the Rams. They had took them over a quarter to adjust to the noise. Obviously, it's not outdoor. It's not an indoor situation, but it will be a factor, I think. So I am confident because I think they've played well. I don't think pass protection has been a huge issue on a consistent basis, but all it takes is one game, right? You don't need you're going to look back and say, well, we played 17, 18 games, and for the most part, we kept Tom Brady clean. But if he ends up getting hit 10, 12 times today and gets sacked 3 or 4, you're not going to really take much solace in that. So I think you're right to focus on the offensive line. I also think getting off to a fast start is really important because the Chiefs are a great front-running team.
Talking with Paul Perillo of Patriots Football Weekly. Paul, we've been asking everybody this, and it's a question that I think we've been talking about all week, and that is, how do you contain Tyreek Hill? How do you cover? What do you do defensively if you're the Patriots in this game?
Well, I just think they have to do something different. I think they've gone into the last two games focusing on Kelce, and I understand why. He's been great. He's the third down guy. He's the guy that's going to make drives continue. But meanwhile, Hill is absolutely destroying them. And I don't think that you can just say – we'll double him and keep him under wraps. I think Gilmore needs to be involved. I think
he
needs to be one of the guys. He's your best, and I think Hill has proven that you can't just bracket him and hope that he doesn't find a soft spot in his zone, because he's so fast that he ends up beating those coverages as well. And that touchdown that tied the game late in that Week 6 matchup really stands out to me. There was like 3 or 4 guys around him. He caught the ball, and it didn't matter. He just outran everybody to the sideline. So I think you need to involve Gilmore with Hill a little bit more, but there's so many different combinations. Don't ask me what they're going to do, because I have no idea.
Well, I'll just say this quickly. I mean, I'll jump in on that. I mean, I agree with you in terms of Gilmore, and I'm okay with – maybe it's not a straight double. Maybe it's just safety over the top so Gilmore can play him aggressively underneath. But you, a lot of people have come on and talked about J.C. Jackson. My colleague Nora Princiati had a big story on him in the Globe. If J.C. Jackson, he's played so well, if he's as good as everybody's saying he is, then hang him out to dry. Leave him one-on-one with Sammy Watkins. And roll coverage to Hill with Gilmore already covering him, because that's what I would
I'm
do.
With you.
Like I'm going to make anybody but that guy, you know, beat me. I'm not going to allow that guy to beat me. If Sammy Watkins beats me, if Chris Conley beats me, if DeMarcus Robinson beats me, even Travis Kelce. I mean, if Travis Kelce, you know, is able to withstand the physicality and he beats me, okay. But I'm not letting that guy run through my secondary for three touchdowns. There's no way.
Yeah, I'm with Chris, and I think that's generally the way Bill goes about it, right? You know, let's make them play 10, 12, 14 plays to score as opposed to giving them big plays. Well, they've given them big plays in these two games that Hill's been involved with, 14 catches, 275 yards, and four touchdowns. You can't allow that to happen again. I love your idea. That's what I've been sort of trumpeting all week. I have no idea how they'll go about it, but the one thing that does worry me as you say that, you know, when you talk about all the different weapons, is that's kind of what Philadelphia had going for him in the Super Bowl. And it wasn't just about one or two guys. It was all of the weapons, the breadth of weapons. And I think guys like Watkins and Conley and even Robinson are capable of making plays. Conley's not going to catch, you know, nine balls for 170 yards. That's probably not going to happen. But he could catch four or five, and they could be important ones, you know, on third downs when you just can't cover them all. So I think that's a fascinating subplot to this game, is how the secondary approaches it. I like Chris's idea. I want Gilmore involved more with Hill, and I would put Jackson on Watkins and take my chances there.
All right, Paul Perillo, thanks for the time. I hope we're talking again in a couple of weeks in Atlanta.
All right.
It looks like the odds are increasing that it will be the Saints. They just scored another touchdown. It's 20-10 New Orleans in the third quarter.
Sounds good.
All right, Paul. That is Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.